call it that is, I'm going to read verses 5 through 7 to keep it shorter. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. You know, somewhere along the way, we got the idea that the Christian life was supposed to lead ever upward. Yeah. So things would just get better and better and better. I guess we got that from the post-millennial crowd. Mm-hmm. Who believed everything was going to get better and better, and then when it got good enough, Jesus would come and take over. Well, World War I did serious damage to post-millennialism. They were expecting everything to keep getting better, and instead, World War I hit. They didn't completely give up on it until World War II hit in the 40s. After World War II, you couldn't find post-millennial belief with a search warrant. They gave up on it after World War I and World War II. Yeah. They decided, well, it just does not seem to be getting any better. It just keeps getting worse. Now, but maybe, I'm saying maybe it's a holdover from that old belief that somehow things are going to keep getting better. And even in the Christian life, mainstream Christianity just thinks everything is wonderful and exciting and getting better and improve yourself and everything is just wonderful all the time. But the word Jordan means descending, going down. Descending. And actually speaks of, the river speaks of death. And death is a process of descending. You don't get older and feel better and better and better and better and better and just wake up in heaven one day. Huh? That's not the way it works. How many of you over 60 feel better than you did when you were in your 20s and 30s? One little boy. He thought I said six. So Elijah tells Elisha in verse 6, you stay here. And God's going to take me down to Jordan. And Elisha said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. I don't care if he takes you down. I am going with you. That'd be pretty easy to stick with somebody as long as the path's going up.
Yeah.
But when it takes a nosedive and starts going down, it even says that those 50 men, verse 7, of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view far off. They wouldn't even get near that going down stuff. And since they were far off and they could see these two men, Elijah and Elisha, I'm going to say they stayed on the high ground.
Yeah, right.
So they had a good view. And they're looking down across that valley and that Jordan River that speaks of death. They have descended down to the banks of the Jordan River down till they're in the river bottom of the river of death. And those 50 sons of the prophets, they're observing, saying, look at Elisha. He's crazy. He's going to follow that old man no matter where he goes. Even if he goes down to the bottom.
Man.
He's going to follow. Now we know from the other lesson I've taught you, the reason that he was willing to go anywhere that Elijah went was because he wanted that mantle.
Right.
He was not going to let difficulties and descending and even death stop him from pursuing the mantle of Elijah. Are you determined to follow your master? What if the path goes down instead of up? Did you know the fact of the matter is the longer you serve the Lord, the more difficulties you face? I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just telling you that's the way it works.
Yeah.
Young people face some tests, but those tests are just to prepare them for the test down the road.
Yes, sir.
The tests get harder. The path gets more difficult, and you have to sink a little lower to keep going forward. And it's not in our old nature to go down as we follow the Lord. A pastor contacted me today, and he was telling me, you know, how bad everything was going. And, you know, he said, maybe I should just move on. He said, things are getting worse instead of better. I said, if you move on every time things get worse instead of better, you're going to be constantly on the move.
Right.
The whole purpose of having a pastor, amen, is to lead a church through the difficult places.
Yes, sir.
Any church would be fine. They wouldn't even need a pastor, amen. If things were good all the time, it's when things go bad and it looks like the whole thing might just blow up like Hiroshima. That's when they need a pastor to say, it's all right. If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. If the path leads us down, we'll just go down together. Amen. And we'll shout the victory while we're going down.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now that's easy preaching, but that's hard living.
Hard living.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
But Elisha is determined to stay with Elijah no matter which way the path is going. Good times? Hallelujah. Bad times? Oh me. Here we go. It didn't make any difference about his decision. His decision was already made. I'm going with God, and since God's with this guy, I'm going with him.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
So, this Jordan River speaks of descending because it winds ever downward to the Dead Sea. And there is no outlet for the Dead Sea. That's why it's dead. That's why you're going to be dead if you keep taking it in, taking it in, taking it in, and don't ever feed it out to somebody else.
Right.
You keep hearing, preaching, teaching, reading your Bible, studying your Bible, doing devotions, and you don't ever tell anybody anything about what you got out of it. You're already dead. You got to let it out.
Yes.
You got to find somebody to give it out to.
Man.
Well, do you have a Sunday school class I can teach? You don't need a Sunday school class to teach. You need people to talk to, and there's 5 million to choose from in Houston.
Amen.
Surely you can find one out of 5 million.
Yeah.
Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you.
Amen.
And Elisha was determined to stay on track even when he was being taunted by his friends. They said, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Sounds like they're taunting to me.
Yeah.
In fact, they'd already said that in verse number 3. Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? They're just following these two guys around from afar. And every time they get to another town, they come up with this same chant. You ever remember being on the playground in grade school and somebody had some kind of ridiculous chant that they just hammered you with every time they saw you? Almost everybody's name has a nickname that some schoolyard kid can think of. Could I get an amen right there?
Yeah.
They'll think of something. Something to try to irritate you and aggravate you. Yeah. If you react to it, it just gets worse.
Right.
Best thing to do is ignore it and pretend that you think they're talking to somebody else.
Yeah.
You start reacting, they're going to get a big kick out of that. They're going to pour it on you that much more.
Right.
I ain't telling them what they call me. They had a name. He was being taunted by his friends over and over and over, which, by the way, will test your patience.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to be teased everywhere they go. Oh, there they are, same guys. Same guys that teased me in the last school I was in. They done moved over here to this school. They followed the Apostle Paul around in the book of Acts. The same Judaizers showed up in every town he preached the gospel in and started a riot. And tried to stir up the people to kill the Apostle Paul.
Right.
They just followed him around and hassled him and harassed him. These guys were other preachers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ever become a preacher of the gospel, you're going to find out that the worst enemies you got are other preachers.
True.
Yeah.
The second worst enemies that you're going to have is people who think they're spiritual. And they'll be so spiritual, amen, that they can just harass you all the time because you didn't say something just right, or you know the Bible says, and they're always correcting you, going to help you out, amen, by and trying to embarrass you, ridicule you in front of somebody. Amen.
Yep.
They never make a private appointment and say, what about this and what about that? No, they're always going to challenge you in front of somebody to try to make you look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
I said, if you can't handle that, don't get into ministry. Don't be a preacher. Because you're going to get you, amen, a steady diet of that kind of stuff. Taunting, teasing, challenging, correction, ridicule, scripture quoting fools to try to destroy your confidence and faith in God.
Yeah.
You got to have your mind made up. You got to be determined. I'm going to keep on going even if the path takes me down, 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 all the way to death.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
By the way, that is one of the goals.
Sure.
Amen.
Death. In other words, this is the hand of God dealing. He's using these crazy young preachers to just put this prophet to the test to see if he's got the stickability to get the job done pressure's on and the path's going the wrong direction. He expected following Elijah would just take him up and up and up and up and up and up and up until probably he'd get swept away in a chariot of fire someday. Instead, the path took him down, 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 down. Elijah got swept away in a chariot of fire, and Elijah was left behind. He should have been the one that wrote that book, Left Behind. He's taunted by his friends. His patience is tested. His determination is tested. His grace is tested. I'm sure he wanted to lash out at these guys and say, look, y'all said the same thing the last time. Y'all just shut up and go away and leave me alone. He did tell them to hold their peace. But it didn't matter. They're going to keep blabbering anyway. Did you know you've got to let fools say whatever they want to say? Okay. Let's try that again. You know why you got to let them? Because they're fools and they're going to say it anyway. They don't care whether you like it or not.
Amen.
Yes, the path is taking them ever downward to Jordan. He not only gets tested by his friends, but then he gets tested by his master. The one he's got all the confidence in. Let's read it in verse 6. I mean, the friends just said, the Lord will take away your master from your head today. Verse 6, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here. Now you stay here with your taunting friends. And I'll go ahead and go on down to Jordan. Tell you what that'll do. That'll encourage you to be determined. Oh yeah, if these guys see me stop now, they're really going to let me have it.
You're right.
I guess he probably wrote the song, I've come too far to turn back now.
Yeah.
He said, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. Not us, but me. He sent me. And he, Elisha, said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. Okay. And they too went on. Downward. The river of death. He was tested by his master. Did you know that a lot of people fall by the wayside in the Christian life because they just get weary? Well doing. They get tired of doing right. Because it seems that the more they do right, the more the path takes them downward instead of up. They get tired of a life of sacrifice. Well, we gave the mission so much last year, why do we have to give so much this year? They get weary. Well, do.
Yeah.
How about because it pleases the Lord and brings glory to God?
Amen.
Edifies the church.
Amen.
And gives you an opportunity to rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Yes.
Wow, what the Lord did.
Well, amen.
One more time. If people get tired of the sacrifice. I think that's a problem on the mission field many times. Mission field. Brother Wood used to say the word missionary means sacrifice. So if you're not willing to sacrifice, you better not become a missionary. People get tired of the sacrifice. They come home and everybody in the church is driving nicer cars than when they left for the field 4 years ago. About a third of the church are living in nicer houses And the mission offering just keeps going up. So the missionary is saying, well, everybody's making more money than they were 4 years ago.
Come on.
And we're about to starve to death. And the guys, you know, they seem to survive that most of the time better than the gals do. Because, I mean, we can go out in the woods and sleep in a tent, but we don't care.
Yeah.
Just give me a deer rifle.
Yeah.
Huh? A skillet. I'll go in the woods. Don't bother me. Can't sleep anyway. Can't sleep on a feather bed. Might as well try the ground. Tired of sacrifice? Tired of the loneliness? Pastor told me today, he said, nobody wants to fellowship with us. We're so old. What do we do? I said, shout the victory.
Yeah.
Just shout the victory. Give God the glory. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God will use that isolation to fellowship with you. Hey, if you got nobody else to fellowship, let's see if we can think of anybody you can fellowship with when you don't have anybody to fellowship with. The Lord.
Amen.
He'll listen anywhere, anytime.
Amen.
Glory.
As long as you want to talk to him. Did you ever notice these people that talk nonstop always want a body to talk to? Well, that's not strictly true. I got a lady up there in my shop. She don't have to have any body. I go in there, she don't even know I'm in there, and I'll hear her just talking, not even nothing. It's not Sister Sandy, if that's what you think. But she knows who I'm talking about. Mary, Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow? It's like they'd be blasted by all that talking. See what else you'll talk to? Nobody in there for us, you know. Just talk, 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 talk. Wow. I guess she never gets lonely. So people get tired of the loneliness, they get tired of being tested over and over and over. Well, I just got through with another test. Why am I being tested again? I just got tested at Bethel. I just got tested at Jericho. Now I'm going to get tested at Jordan. It seems like it's just one test after another test after another test. How many of these tests are there? I don't know. I hadn't tried to count them, but I can tell you there's plenty of them. You know what it is? We got a lot to learn.
Yes, yes sir.
And a limited amount of time to learn.
Yeah.
So he just gives us one test right after another. Tested by your friends. Tested by your master. People get tired of the downward journey. They get tired of the battles. I remember, I don't know if you've ever heard Brother Wood's sermon on staying in the fight. That's probably not the title of it, but stay in the fight. Don't get tired of the fight. Don't quit the fight. Whatever it is. But I mean, he was on fire when he was preaching that sermon.
Oh, yeah.
Because he had just been to a meeting and a preacher had said, I'm just so tired of all the battles. Just tired of all this fighting. Brother Wood said, then get out, you coward.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he told him that with a van full of preachers sitting there.
Yeah.
And the guy tried to make a joke out of it. Brother Wood said, I ain't joking. You need to get out of the ministry. Then he came home. The Lord gave him that sermon. Amen. He blistered every preacher from here to North Carolina with that sermon. Because he was still steaming over this guy that was tired of the fight. He'd tell illustrations of dogs, cow dogs that he had owned. Amen. One just had three legs. I remember that.
Yeah.
Just wouldn't quit. He'd always getting behind, couldn't keep up. Amen. But he'd just keep on doing the best he could. And if he'd hold something long enough, he'd get there and bite him one time if he could. Just let him know whose side he was on. He loved that old three-legged cow dog. Just because he wouldn't quit.
Yeah.
And then this preacher talking about being tired and fighting, tired and fighting, tired and fighting, tired. You see, he's being tested by his master because his master wants to know, will you quit when the battles just keep coming? And when you're weary and feel like you can't fight anymore, can you keep on going even if the path's taking you downward, 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 and your friends are jeering at you while you go down, trying to be faithful to your master, who's inviting you and even encouraging you to quit? People get tired of criticism. If you serve God, you take a stand for anything, anything, just say, it's where I stand right here. You're fixing to get criticized. There's going to be somebody that thinks you're too strict, and somebody's going to think you're too lenient. Somebody's going to think you're too strong, or you're too mean, or you're too hard, and somebody else is going to think you're too weak, and you don't have enough convictions, and you won't stick to them when the going gets tough. You're going to catch it from both sides, no matter where you take a stand. But you do have to decide, where am I going to stand?
Amen.
You got to stand somewhere. But to take a stand anywhere, you got to be willing to take a stand and take the criticism that comes with taking the stand. Are you tired of the temptations? I don't know what you thought. You thought if you could just get out of the 20s and 30s, get to the big 4-0, you'd be home free. You wouldn't have any more temptations to sin. You'd have it all through by then, and you could just coast into heaven. Unscathed. Because you know what you thought? You thought time to get 40 years old, you'd be too old to sin. But you know what you find out? When you get too old to sin, you still got a brain that's depraved. You thought you'd have the victory by now. Instead, temptations just assail you like fiery darts continually. You think, what am I even thinking about? That's one good thing about getting old and forgetful.
Yeah.
What was that that was bothering me so bad yesterday? It seemed like a big deal. I can't believe I forgot it. Whatever it was, hallelujah, it's gone. I can't remember. But there'll be a new one today.
Right.
He's tested by his friends. He's tested by his master. And in verse number 7, these 50, I'll put friends in parentheses. Not parentheses. question marks. You know what I mean. These 50 friends have the safety of distance. They're viewing from afar. They can throw out their criticism, their taunts, their jeers. They can throw out anything they want to, and they're so far away, they're safe. You're going to find that's what the brethren will do. If you do anything for God, they're going to pour it on you, but they're going to do it from such a distance from the Lord and from you. They're going to make sure you hear it, but they're not going to get up close where you can look them in their eye and rebuke them in Jesus' name. They have the safety of distance and the security of each other. There's 50 of them. Hey, what do y'all think about us, you know, harassing them a little bit down there? Oh, yeah, man, yeah, let's do that. Go ahead, you first. Yeah, well, now, you got a man, but I mean, you go ahead, Hey, knowest thou not that thy master be taken away from thy head today? You ever heard that one before? Yeah, they're going to pour it on them, but they have the security of each other. They get each other worked up. Did you know that's the way people do?
That's right.
Amen. Go to any elementary school, and they'll talk each other into doing stuff. Yeah. Or junior high school, or high school, amen, or church deacon board of men in their 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
It stays the same. They just learned how to do it more maturely. Or as Brother Wood used to say, more manurely. Now is Elisha's golden opportunity to drop out. Everybody in here has probably faced time in your life that dropping out really looked appealing. If you haven't ever faced that, cheer up. You will. You know what you got to do when the temptation comes to look for an easier path, an upward path, an exhilarating path? A happy path. You just stay with your master.
Amen.
Stay with your master.
Good.
Even if it leads you downward. When you get in that Jordan River and you think this is the end of it for sure right here. You just might get down there and find out the mountain still works. And you'll be one of the only ones that sees the water roll back and God do the impossible. I mean, really, let's think about this here. Can we just be honest tonight? What are our chances of giving $1 million to missions in a year? Would you please just look around tonight? What are the chances? What are the chances?
Come on.
I say they're impossible.
Yeah.
But we saw God do it last year.
Amen.
And we're so close to it again that it's amazing.
Amen.
Even if we don't get there, I can shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. God's been good to us.
Yes.
Don't let life's disappointments put you in despair and cause you to just say, well, it's not worth it. Oh, yes, it's worth it.
Oh, amen.
Stay with the Lord. Stay with your master. Stay in the will of God. Stay in the Word. Keep on going. Start another good news club. Reach another sinner with the gospel. revival in another school, preach another message in the prison, preach another sermon in the nursing home, preach another message in front of the zoo, amen. Just keep on going, even if it looks like it's just going down, down, down. Just keep on going.
Amen.
I don't know how many of you noticed, but Miss Jo Chess was in church last Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't you tell her what I'm fixing to tell you. She will shoot me. She said I wore my bright red dress so everybody could see me. Because she'd been gone for a while. She took that fall, bashed her face on the road out there in front of her house on the asphalt. And they said she'd have broke her hip if she hadn't had a hip replacement years ago. The metal is all that held her hip together. And it just took a long time for all that internal stuff to heal up. But she's getting around much better now. Amen. Such a blessing to see her come in here. And she was just about convinced that her life of activity was over. But just to see her come walking in those doors and come to church last Sunday morning,
man,
was such a huge,
yes, amen,
step of progress for Miss Jo.
Well, amen.
And that's the way you got to do it.
Yeah. Amen.
Sometimes you're just not going to feel like it. Could I make an honest confession to you? Sometimes I don't feel like it. But I do it anyway.
Because
it's the right thing to do. And I believe it honors God that no matter how things are going, we just stay with our Master. Even if it means going down, 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 down. Eventually you'll get to the bottom of that Jordan River. You got to start back up. So don't quit. Don't let up. Don't back up. Don't compromise. Don't get discouraged. Even if you're taunted by your friends and family, stay with your Master. You'll be glad you did. Would you stand by your heads? Father, may you bless the message. Encourage somebody tonight, boy. Maybe they feel